Boys Lunch.
Here we go.
And we're back.
Today's the day. Every Monday, just like we've... Wait, it's...
It is 2-2-2-2-2-2.
That's why we're recording today, in honor of the twos.
Not of the deuces. Today's the day of the deuce. I actually have a deuce story. Remind me to tell you in a second.
And I'm a little concerned, but thank you for joining us once again. This is Boys Lunch. You can follow us on Instagram at Boys Lunch Podcast. You can email us at boyslunch1@gmail.com. Those emails have been rolling in, and we appreciate hearing from everyone.
We do. And you know what? Still have not heard about anyone donating in the name of Boys Lunch.
Yeah, what's going on? Come on. We got a lot of young alums out there.
That was 2 weeks ago, right? I thought we could get people jumping on that.
Seriously.
Even like a parent or something.
I mean, we even said we'd autograph a mug or some sort of memorabilia. But as always, if you're a young alum, you can join the Magi Club. You can get your...
I can't believe you remembered that.
At M-A-G-I-I. My annual gift is in. So please, if you want to do that, and then put a little on the memo line there, say Boys Lunch, or just anybody wants to donate on behalf, even if it is 50 cents, just to get Kevin Cook off our backs, please. That is kcook@blmcchs.org. If you want to support the organization that supports us.
Interesting to know that like people listen.
Yeah, please. We just need that affirmation, even if it is
30. Yeah, numbers have been a little bit lower. I guess people didn't want to hear about two doofuses talking about trying to be dads.
Not our most popular, is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know. I think we just... I don't know. We must have said something before that offended people because we lost some viewers. I don't know.
Couldn't be the inconsistency, could it?
We're a little light on the emails too, guys. No one's really saying anything.
You know, snow days.
It is kind of the inconsistency. I feel bad because it's still something I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not like we haven't been trying.
Yeah.
We've had busy things and we just had weird weeks. Like we would have done one last week, but then we ended up having a 5-day weekend again in February. So it's just, yeah.
Snow has been everywhere.
It's been good. It's been bad. You know, it feels like the year has gone by fast.
We are. Yeah. Especially yesterday having what was a gorgeous day. I mean, I ran outside in shorts.
You said it cool day.
We had yesterday what happened and it turned out to be a gorgeous day.
We've got a cold front coming in. So it did feel a little bit like spring yesterday.
But without the wear and tear, that's the weird part. Is like the year's gone by fast this semester, but...
You don't feel as worn down as a
teacher?
Yeah,
because we've been gone for like 20 days of February.
That's true. We've got like 4-day, 5-day weekends. We've got another 3-day weekend coming up.
But yesterday did have the feeling of spring, I think, for the first time.
Yeah.
Like 50s outside, Shamrock Shakes available. But
that's when you know.
Shake machine's down, so you know that spring is actually here.
Don't get your hopes up.
They're promoting the Shamrock Shake, but yet do not have shake machines.
They just took them out.
Yeah. That's right.
So what's new in your life?
Not much. I mean, a lot of free time at home.
That's true. Just like, hey, here's a surprise 5 days at home.
Yeah, I mean.
And you guys are kind of locking down because you got that big Italy trip coming
that's
up.
That's true. So like, it was a nice little quarantine, but it's also like stuck inside with two kids for 5 days straight a couple different times in February. You start just like losing your mind a little bit.
They playing
the
a
blessings
lot
of fatherhood.
Played a lot of Tony Hawk Pro Skater on the
Twitch. We did play it once. I mean, I played it once. Yeah, I don't know. That's been going on. Yeah, a little bit nervous about making it to Italy. So that's kind of causing a lot of just my mental focus is a lot on just like all the little hoops that we're trying to jump through to get there.
Once you get off the ground, though, flight-wise?
Not even, though.
That's not even.
We still have to take a test once we get to the Italian airport.
Yeah, when will you be able to breathe?
When we're walking to St. Peter's next Wednesday. I'll feel good. Yeah. So.
Because you are – it's with a tour, right? So, like, once you get there,
yeah,
all the other accommodations and stuff. Like,
well, and we're even meeting some of the group in Newark, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful this time near Newark. So that's nice. We're at least traveling with some of the group from the United States, too.
Oh, that's nice.
Dr. Edward Sri, if you guys have ever heard of him, famous within the Catholic world.
The Sri?
Yeah, author of many books and co-founder of the Augustine Institute in Denver, Colorado.
Classic.
Yeah.
Good man. Does Ed Sri remember you?
I don't think so. I did go on a trip with him 11 years ago.
Okay.
I think once he'll see my face, like, he'll be like, yes, you're unforgettable. Joey! I forget. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I forgot you.
Do you think he'll run towards you and embrace you?
I think so.
That's pretty exciting.
Anyway, anything new with you?
No, enjoyed the illness that I think the senior class passed on to me.
They were getting a little sick last week. Even the juniors, yeah.
They were kind of
like sounding gross.
So I think I just caught a cold, which is great. Especially somehow, I don't know. I don't know how I caught it. Still keeping my distance, still wearing the mask. Well, that's fine.
It couldn't be me. It's got to be someone else.
I know who it was. I know who it was.
Nice. Did I just have one last drop of water in my cup?
Was it delicious?
No.
No, it was a good weekend. I mean, I took a couple days to kind of feel like I could think straight again. But
you're such a man.
No, I'm just so weak when it comes to illness. I'm just a softy. But Sunday was great. So was yesterday.
Anyone has to do with emotions. You're softy too.
When it comes to what?
Emotions.
Emotions? Yeah, I cry a lot.
Yeah.
Good luck cleaning this up in the editing room.
What else do we have going on?
I don't think we have anything.
Why not?
We got Olympics. What else is going on in our lives?
Yeah, things coming up at the school. I mean.
But we already talked about Olympics. Then it got canceled. Then it got rescheduled.
So we have Olympics this Friday. That'll go well. Next week is March. Things are picking up.
On fire.
I felt like we'd have more banter today.
Yeah, we haven't seen each other. What do you want to talk about?
2 weeks.
West Ham?
People don't want to hear.
No,
we got anything else? You been flipping through anything lately? Any editorials, magazines, books?
I haven't picked up the Wall Street Journal in a couple of years. But, you talking about like programs? What am I watching?
No, like books.
What am I flipping through?
Yeah, books.
No, I'm drowning.
You got a Kindle or something?
No, I'm drowning to try to teach that Illinois State course. All I'm reading is on safety, health.
Yeah, sure.
Health sciences, risk management, safety and society.
How are the kids taking it?
I actually think they are enjoying the course.
Do you enjoy the content?
I do enjoy the content.
No, you don't. It
is
super.
Well, I mean, a lot of it is like a study in the human condition. Okay. Why we respond the way we do. Why we think, I don't know. Why we think it's safer. Like, I don't know, you throw a helmet on and then you're willing to do more and take more risks or
we're getting scared to fly across to Italy, although we could die any day.
Yeah.
So we're like making like, we got to get like everything in line in case we die on this flight.
Or just like most people would say that trip to Italy is a far greater risk than driving to St. Louis.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, actually driving is far greater risk to your health than flying even to Italy. So,
dude, I thought we would be a full of it today.
I think it's the problem at the end of the day. Sometimes you're gassed.
Yeah. People, we are just gassed right now. Normally we've been recording earlier in the day. I think right when we're about hitting the peak of our coffee levels.
That's true.
So we are recording after school today. So sorry for maybe the lack of lively banter back and forth. Little ta ta ta. Question, actually.
Go ahead.
Growing up, I feel like people are either good at like pool, ping pong, or like air hockey or something like that. Like, pop shot, you know, like basketball.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of those like arcade games ish are you actually good at?
I'm pretty good at ping pong.
Ping pong's your thing?
Yeah.
Were you ever good at pool?
No, never.
That's one like I wanted to be good at.
It seems so easy. To me, it's just like I feel like the angles should just play themselves out.
You're a soccer player, you know angles.
I'm able to steady it, and all I gotta do is just poke a ball into another. And no, like
you immediately look like a 12-year-old when you play.
Seriously.
It's something that humbles you pretty fast. Yeah, like golf can humble you pretty fast.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But ping pong was, Jason Kobus had a ping pong table in his basement.
Shout out Jason Kobus.
There's no way he listens, but if he does, good to see him.
Yeah.
Actually had dinner with him on Friday. His family's doing well.
You didn't tell him about boys.
Gotta push the pot. But that's something that we all played like as a friend group growing up.
Yeah.
But like, I think he also had, it's one of those, you know, the pool tables underneath, and whenever that, it's like, oh my god.
Hey, can we get the ping pong table back?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I'm just awful. Yeah. Well, that and just like, I'm the guy that just, when I bowl, I'm throwing it harder than I need to.
You hit the balls too hard.
I'm the guy that's going to just tear a 6-inch divot into someone's pool table because I'm just trying to crush something. Finesse you maybe need it.
I really want a pool table, even though I'm not good at it.
Seems like a major commitment. Also, like, you got to move. Something happens. I don't want to pay to have that moved.
I'm not planning on moving.
Also, I have children breaking fingers with the pool
balls.
I have
children too.
Spilling stuff on it.
It's more of like a down the road thing. I don't know why.
But you're awful at it, aren't you?
Yeah, but I want to be good at it.
There's only one way.
You know, I'm a man.
I should be a bowling and billiards center. I'm sure they still got billiards.
I think probably shut down 7 years ago. Anyway, Lent is approaching. You know, Lent is coming up next week. And last year we did a podcast on Lent, not the two of us. My wife and I did it, if you remember. Yes. I just gave some tips. So maybe go back and listen to that if you want some tips, because we're not going to kind of do that again. Mm-hmm. Today, you know, I think obviously it is good to start to think ahead of time. Give yourself some time to think, some days to kind of feel it out, what you want to do. And I think you should do something, especially if you never do anything the rest of the year. Lent is a good time to do something.
Yeah.
But something I wanted to talk about was the idea of giving something up. Why would we do that at all? You know?
Yeah, addressing the why. What is the point? Why? What is the purpose?
If you're a cradle Catholic, you've just done it your whole life. Lent comes around, your teachers, your parents, like, hey, give something up. And you just kind of do it.
Yeah.
I think we kind of lose the meaning of why you're giving something up in the first place. And why should you do that more than just Lent?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So for kind of an outsider, kind of explain the whys of it, but even just like to help us re-educate ourselves as Catholics.
Yeah, I think it's a healthy reminder of again, why do we approach Lent in this way? And ultimately, the Christian faith, of course, about personal relationship with Jesus Christ and what that means for our lives, but also like talk about the freedom attained through, right, this Christian spirituality, the idea that it, of course, benefits a human person, right? It's man most fully alive. So it's there's a person, there's a purpose and a reason for why the church asks us to do these types of sacrifices or.
But it's very countercultural, yeah. Especially like American culture. It's we don't deny ourselves of things. It's not part of our culture. You're supposed to indulge yourself in things, and things that are a hindrance to you are actually bad, and you need to get those out of your life.
Yeah.
So that's like utilitarianism: maximize pleasure, minimize pain.
Yeah.
That's our mindset kind of nowadays. And things are useful to us if they bring value and pleasure. They're not useful if they don't.
Yeah, and there has been a slight rise in, is it asceticism or ascetical practices?
Because asceticism, for those people wondering, comes from the Greek word ascetic. Actually, I think it's like ascesis, whatever. It means training. It was like an athletic training term in Greek. Sorry.
But I think there's been, even amidst non-believers, there's a recognition that we're overly attached to certain goods.
Yeah.
And it's not that necessarily the use of certain things is bad, whether it be food or that.
But people are doing like different food cleanses or like social media fasting that are not Christian or religious.
Yeah, because I think they certainly recognize that there is something disordered in the way in which we are attached and approach to things.
Yeah.
They have their purposes and they are good in various ways. But yeah, some of our the phone is the most obvious one. I think we've talked about that several times. But even just like the approach to our own time. We talked about this as fathers, like, you know, when I get the kids down, there's just like, when that's interrupted by a child, it's perceived as my time. This is my time for me and my downtime. And then I just, because I have an over attachment to that, I lack an ability to serve my children again, even though that's my job, that's my vocation. Right.
And those are I think the words attachment was what I wanted to talk about, because I think if you start to read people like spiritual masters within the church, they talk about penance, mortification, attachment. Mortification, I think, has just gotten a bad rap because of like the Da Vinci Code. So like mortify yourself. Mortify is like to shame, but like within the Christian context, mortification was subduing your bodily like pleasures, basically, like saying no to things that maybe you would have an attachment to. It was kind of a process of saying no to stuff. It's a process of penance, which I think we've kind of lost even within our Christian culture, penance. I think you look at nowadays confessions, nothing against the priest, but that's been our culture is like saying our Father. There isn't, I guess, the sense of I need to do something even just outward and physical to make up for the things that are going inwardly and spiritual.
Yeah.
Something that was always kind of a practice in early Christianity in the Middle Ages, and maybe to a fault for some eras or some people. But I mean, you look at St. Francis, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena, John Vianney, Therese, like these people, these spiritual masters all talk about penance and mortification because maybe they had some idea that this is actually good for us.
Right.
Because like you're saying, these healthy, unhealthy attachments, what are they taking us away from? Living as a human being. In Screwtape, over and over again, they talk about like positive pleasure. Like the demons are like, don't let them experience positive pleasure because positive pleasure comes from God. Experiencing the things of the world in a healthy way actually helps enlighten us and brings us to the first truth, the first principle, God. But I think it's the idea that we're experiencing these pleasures in an unhealthy way, in a negative way. And sometimes it is even a positive, but it's all connected. When we indulge ourselves in things, it's kind of what would you say? It's kind of reinforcing our attachment to things of this world. And as Christians, we've never been the people of this world.
I think it also enforces an egocentric kind of me first approach to life as well, that it's my good, my will, my desires need to be satiated at every point or whenever I will it.
Right? Instant gratification.
This instant gratification, or just that it's my good and my will above others. The Christian life is about this self-sacrifice, this point out of ourself for another, to love, to die to self for the sake of the other. This idea that it's like, you know, this, it's not about self-service. It's about, you know, laying my life down and
looking outward,
right? Looking outward, looking for the good in others and serving others. And
when it's not bad to like coffee, but
right,
if you're always just indulging yourself and you're not able to even say no to coffee, it's gonna be hard for you to look outward at other people. And
right, it's a training of the will. I mean,
yeah,
and it's, I don't know,
and that's why I think Lent, it's good to give things up.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think we've gotten to a trend recently. I'm all for adding things. I get that.
Yeah,
and I think that needs to be a healthy balance. And Lent, yes, give something up. Yes, add something. Get closer to Jesus. And I think at Epiphany they were saying that, and I'm behind what they were doing within that message.
Yeah,
but I think it's like people will hear that and hear it in their own way by saying, "Oh, I don't have to give up anything anymore.
Right.
All I need to do is pray more." You should pray more, and that is like hopefully giving up things leads you to pray more. But I think we love any little like reason to be like, "Oh yeah,
loophole.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to give up anything anymore."
Yeah,
like you said, it's all about training your will. What's going to help you pray more? If you have the willpower to say, "I need to pray and I should pray right now," even when it's tough.
Yeah.
How do you train your will? By actually having control of it, like using, like calling upon the grace of God to execute what he wants you to do in that moment. And you train that by being able to say yes to things that you should be saying yes to and no to things you should be saying no to, or even just saying no to things that you don't need in that moment.
Yeah.
Right. Did any of that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's about a proper ordering of one's life and making room for these moments to sit with God, to pray, to allow, to discern his will, right? Because I think for me, some of the biggest impediments to my own prayer life has been cell phone or prioritizing work over prayer or these different things where it's like in the moment, like I know I need it. Logically, I understand that prayer is good and I have time to do it now, but something, I don't have the strength and the will to choose that good over one that maybe is a thing that isn't, ought not to be that priority in that moment, or to scroll for 25 minutes on the ESPN app when 15, 20 minutes of that could have been spent in prayer. And I just had checked, you know, ESPN before I went to bed. So really what news is going to be over there overnight, those types of things where it's like, again, you're trying to just, as I think as we talked about in previous podcasts, just trying to make room for in your life and to try to properly prioritize the goods in your life. Because again, cell phone isn't inherently evil in and of itself, but we'd all be fools to say that we don't spend too much time on it. Myself included.
Yeah, the attachment thing. I think that's what I was just, as I was bouncing on words in my head, I think attachments was something that was important, because I think Lent, like you're saying, it's a proper ordering of our cell phones and the different things. And I think people rag on giving up like food related things like chocolate and coffee, but I think it helps us because we are attached to the things of this world. And kind of as my mind was going along, I think, like you said, I'm overly attached to things. Like I gave up coffee. We've talked about this before. Like we've given up coffee before and it like almost ruined us, you know, and I get it, but like enjoying things in the right amount. And there was like an analogy, our attachments basically are keeping us away from what our final goal is. The whole idea of Christianity has always been to live. I know it's cheesy to live in the world, but not be of the world. We've always been kind of described throughout history as sojourners, as people like on a journey passing through. This has never really been truly our homeland. I want to bring up something really quick, though. This idea of penance, it should be done throughout the year. I think we need to bring that back. And I really want to start to bring it back more in my life. And I need people in my life to keep me accountable. People like you. And there's some other teachers that we've done this before, or just people like within a small group, my wife. It's just something I think is necessary, that you should find people within your life that you can do this together with, to do penance outside of Lent, because you know how much it helped you in Lent, right? Some quotes that I want to read recently, because I think we start to think of like the desert fathers, people going out and living in penance, or like self-flagellation, or like even the extreme penances of someone like Teresa of Avila, and thinking of penance as something in the past. And this is from a catechism that was put together, 1992? Is that right? John Paul II called for the catechism to be put together. He says, the way of perfection passes by way of the cross. There is no holiness without renunciation and spiritual battle. Spiritual progress entails the ascesis, a mortification that gradually leads to living in the peace and joy of the Beatitudes. So the spiritual progress needs to have this ascetic life and mortification. Jesus' call to conversion and penance, like that of the prophets before him, does not aim first at outward works, sackcloth and ashes. So it's not like the first thing you need to do is outward works, fasting and mortification, but the conversion of the heart, interior conversion. That's always the most important part.
Yeah.
It's not just doing things outwardly, vainly, whatever. But he says, without this, such penances remain sterile and false. However, interior conversion urges expression in visible signs, gestures, and works of penance. So the interior conversion is the end goal, but we do it when we need these outward things to help us. The faithful must also be encouraged to do outward acts of penance, both to keep their bodies under the strict control of reason and faith. That's from John the 23rd.
Yeah.
The bonum papa, the happy, jolly Santa Claus. Even these new age popes are saying penance is necessary. And I think John Paul II was the one who really connected the idea of suffering. Not just helping our attachments to things of the world, but penance is necessary for us to actually do something redemptive with our suffering.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's another component that we're missing. Our penance can actually help. Our cleansing of our attachments can actually help us and other people that we offer this up for.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on that? Or
yeah, I think that's a beautiful connection that I think a lot of us miss. And I got to thank Andrew Lawrence, who's on staff here. Him and I will do, like, Wednesdays, we'll do fasts for the students, right? This we'll fast from something, or maybe it could be food throughout the day, but it's meant to be like, again, this suffering that we take on, that we unite with Christ's cross and that sacrifice, but also it's not only redemptive for ourselves, but it's meant to be this prayer, this
pouring out for it.
Right. Exactly. This, like, uniting my heart, I'm yearning for their good, and I'm showing that by my outward actions. But also my internal prayer and kind of ordering my heart towards them. So it's a constant reminder, every little hunger pain that's really not that big of a deal considering, you know, the people who have greater sufferings in the world than I do. But for me, it's just this constant reminder and ordering towards, like, this is why we're doing this, that this is my love. I'm showing that in this way. And I'm unifying this suffering, this very small sacrifice for the greater good.
And there's so many layers of that,
right?
Because it's necessary for your salvation. Mm-hmm. It's helping out the salvation of your students. But it's also helping you be empathetic.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many layers of why this can be a good thing in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this, the idea of penance as well is, for an additional layer here, like the repentance for my own sins, right? And the suffering that I've caused for others, and just the fact to take responsibility for the damage of my own sins, and to just offer some small sacrifice as a way of atonement for those sins. I mean, there's just so much that can be done with these small sacrifices, and to be brought to prayer in these moments as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you said, just talking this out with you, like the multi-layer, the different levels that are to this, and the goods that are being born from it, from just one small sacrifice.
Because the rumbles of your stomach are reminding you of your mission.
Right.
Like, constantly throughout the day, as you're hungry, you're reminded of good things, of morals, of virtue, of God, of your mission. You're called to something more in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last thing I want to connect this to, our attachments, like I was saying before, are grounding us to this earth, and they're taking us away from where we're made to be. And in previous podcasts, we talked about human beings as the ones that are not satisfied by this world. We have this wisdom that is reaching to this new truth, but also this hunger for this goodness that is, and this beauty that is beyond this world, this transcendent good, which is God, right?
Yeah.
In a book that we've been reading that we mentioned, that is There Hope?
Yeah.
Okay, that we forgot. It talks about this expectant awaiting. And I wanted to do a few quotes here, because I think the whole reason of this penance is to recognize that these things of the world are good, but to enjoy them in the proper amount, to be able to say no to them, to recognize the better good that is available. Would you say that's...
Yeah.
In this, Benedict the 16th.
Oh, B16.
The German Shepherd. Expectation or waiting is a dimension that flows through our whole personal, family, and social existence. Expectation is present in thousands of situations, from the smallest and the most banal to the most important that involve us completely and in our depths. Think of all, like, the things that you've waited for in your life, this expectation. He said, let us think of waiting for a child on the part of a husband and wife, of waiting for a relative or friend who is coming from far away to visit us. Let us think for a young person of waiting to know his results in a crucially important exam or outcome of a job interview, in emotional relationships, of awaiting to meet the beloved, of waiting for the answer to a letter,
or the acceptance of forgiveness. One could say that man is alive as long as he waits, as long as hope is alive in his heart, and from his expectations, man recognizes himself. Our moral and spiritual stature can be measured by what we wait for and by what we hope for. This idea that we are this constant awaiting for something more, and some of these attachments are taking us down. If we're hoping for these little things that are going to make us happy, we're missing the bigger picture. Penance helps us to kind of clarify our mind of what matters in life, to set our hope for something that isn't just so little. In that quote from Leopardi that we all liked, the inability to be satisfied by anything worldly is the chief sign of the greatness of the human person. In Caron, Julian Caron, the author says, such a gaze upon the human person is rare. For many, the inability to be satisfied by anything earthly is a terrible misfortune, and they would do anything to reduce this expectant awaiting in order to settle for something within reach. But this whole idea of, I think, I was trying to just tie some things that we've been talking about and thinking about, even just personally in our own conversations. I think Lent and penance and all these different things help reorder our expectant awaiting. What are we made for? What is our purpose? What is this encounter that we've had with Christ? This mortification can help us. This prayer can help us. This penance can help us.
Yeah, ultimately, what is going to satisfy us? It's not any sort of piece of technology or worldly possession. But when we see this, we experience this in our conversations and in our expectant waiting for our loved ones or for these big moments in our lives, right? They are what awaken us to the greater good, to the heights that we've always spoken of, right? Again,
and that's Easter.
It's Easter, absolutely, right? Sorry. So you've got this idea that we know this. We know this in our very being. And how often we still continue to look downwards and be attached to things that we know ultimately won't satisfy. Penance is a great opportunity to remind ourselves in small ways throughout the week, in Lent, of course, but throughout the year, that really what is the greater purpose, the greater meaning, where ought our hope lie?
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, it frees us to look upwards.
Beautiful. But yeah, again, the point of this podcast, again, to reimagine as Cradle Catholics, why am I giving things up ever? You should for Lent, but also just throughout the rest of the year and just for maybe outsiders of why do these people do this thing? That's kind of the point of it.
Yeah.
It's not some weird, like we like hurting ourselves. Like there is a bigger point to it. And this Lent, if the only thing you do is add something, that is great. But let's not look past what penance is and why we're doing it and why it's been something that's been practiced in the church.
Yeah. Agreed.
Thoughts?
Yeah.
Cool.
No, I think you summed it up well. I think every single person, if they take an honest look at their life, has something in their lives that's preventing them from making room for God.
Shout outs.
Luke Swantek.
Nice.
Faithful listener.
He is.
Just saw him.
Yeah, he called us out on our fatherhood podcast.
Yeah, I think we should apologize. We could have gone deeper. I don't know. We're trying to keep them short.
We just started to kind of hit a stride, but it was already like minute 28, 29.
Yeah.
Like the class period was ending. So Stella even listened to it because she asked for it. She's like, was really wanting more. So
look out for Fatherhood Part 2.
Yeah, where we can actually just start jumping in. Shout out to Eddie McSweeney, who is a listener. It is his birthday today. And he's like, Mr. Head, are you dropping a podcast for my birthday? And I said, probably.
Happy birthday.
So happy birthday, Eddie.
So that'll be the title. Happy birthday, Eddie.
Yeah. Any other shout outs?
No.
To our
wives.
All right.
For the kingdom.
For the kingdom.